Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Something's spreading.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. World health officials today continue to warn about the severity of swine flu and the pandemic that it could become. More than 100 people have died in Mexico from the virus, and milder cases have popped up in California, Kansas, New York, Canada, New Zealand, and now Spain. But this isn't just a health issue. Today, the European Union Health Commissioner officially discouraged all non-essential travel to Mexico and the United States. It is an economic issue that's got far-reaching repercussions, including trade. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
At this point, not a lot is known about this variant of swine flu or the outbreak, but
at this time, I think it's fair to characterize our assessment of the situation as serious.
That's Dr. Keiji Fukada, Assistant Director General at the World Health Organization in Geneva. He says the question is how easily this virus spreads from infected animals to humans. But China's not waiting for more information to act. Overnight, it banned imports of live pigs and pork products from Mexico and at least three U.S. states with confirmed cases of the disease. Andy Rothman is a China strategist at CLSA China Pacific Markets.
Definitely, the Chinese government is going to err on the side of caution now after having some rough experiences with SARS a few years ago and more recently with bird flu. So they're going to be very, very careful.
China is the world's largest pork consumer, but Rothman says this ban will have a tiny impact on world trade. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Swine flu is making investors around the world a little nervous. Asian markets closed mostly lower. The Hang Seng fell more than 2.5%. European shares are down across the board. Airline stocks taking a hit, and pharmaceuticals are on the rise. No surprise there. American markets closed higher Friday. S&P and NASDAQ shares added 1 to 2%. The Dow added 119 points. To close at 8076, but still the index was slightly lower for the week. Pontiac is about to be no more. General Motors is expected to announce in about an hour cost-cutting measures that will get rid of the line and slash production and jobs. The automaker has until the end of the month, end of next month, to figure out how to go on as a going concern. Chrysler faces a Thursday government deadline to either restructure with a partner, Fiat, or file for bankruptcy, but the automaker has cleared a couple of big hurdles. On Sunday, it reached a concession agreement with the United Auto Workers and one ratification of its cost-cutting deal with Canadian auto workers. So that leaves Chrysler negotiating with creditors, the ones to which it owes nearly $7 billion. And on that bumpy road, there will be no shortage of adrenaline.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Yeah, Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us right now. Alan, what are the parties, all the parties, trying to do in this final week?
Well, what we're facing is a game that they play in bankruptcy courts all the time. It's called chicken. Do you know the game of chicken?
I know it well.
Right. Well, some of our audience may be more cultured than you and I are, so I think I ought to explain it, which is, somebody, say, Steve, gets in a car and drives toward me. I get in my car, I drive towards him. And the question is, which one of us chickens out and goes in the ditch before we hit?
Yeah, I don't like the scenario at all, Alan.
No, I don't like it either, especially since I'd probably chicken out right at the beginning. But bankruptcy people are professional chicken players. So what you've seen is a lot of chest pounding and carrying on, both in the Chrysler negotiations, which pits the Treasury against the creditors of Chrysler, and also in the second set of negotiations, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in a few weeks, which is the General Motors thing where the same game is going on. And GM actually now has a real deadline because they've said we are not going to make a bond payment that's due at the beginning of June. And that starts the clock ticking where anybody who owns these bonds and doesn't get paid could pretty much put General Motors into bankruptcy. So that's going to have to get settled.
And so what happens in the end here?
Well, I suspect at the end what happens is that there may be a company called Chrysler, but it won't be owned by the United States, and many of its plants in the United States will close. Ford is cutting and cutting and cutting and may scrape by, I hope it does, and make it without any government help. And GM, it's a really ugly situation. And you could see where, again, a whole lot of GM facilities are going to close. They're going to employ a lot fewer people. They're going to do a lot less borrowing. The only question is whether this happens as part of a bankruptcy or some reorganization outside of bankruptcy court, which matters to a whole lot of people. But for purposes of our conversation, it doesn't matter if you're looking at what happens to the companies.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
Next week, Sotheby's and Christie's hold their May Impressionist and Modern sales. See, it's spring auction season in the art world, but the fallout has made a mess of what used to be an economic masterpiece. Both auction houses have laid off staff around the world to cut costs. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
In the lobby at Christie's in Manhattan, Guy Bennett shows me an early 20th century Matisse. It's never come to auction before, and it could be a bit of a bargain.
We'll see what it makes on May 6, but I think $2 to $3 million absolutely recognizes the market we're working in today.
Bennett is co-head of Christie's Impressionist and Modern Department. He says next week's evening sale is expected to bring in around $95 million.
This time last year, approximately the pre-sale estimate was around $180 million. So we're looking at about a 50% reduction in terms of value we're offering.
That's partly because Christie's isn't selling as many blockbuster pieces this season. Art consultant Joan Whalen says collectors are reluctant to part with important works in a depressed market.
Unless someone absolutely has to sell, you're not going to see major pieces at auction. They're going to get nothing.
Whalen says her own business selling art is down 50% this year. She may have to change careers. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.